This is how to scale a sales team, even if you have zero sales experience.
Welcome to the Everything Goes My Way podcast, where I share how to get more clients, increase sales, build a business that runs without you, and the many mistakes I've made on the journey. So hope you get value and subscribe.
So in 2019, I tried to shut my gym down, with emphasis on tried. And so in 2018, I actually got diagnosed with type 1 diabetes. And it was a pivotal moment in my life. And I remember sitting there in the hospital bed. My wife was over there in the corner. And the doctor had just left the room and he had just broke the news that I had type 1 diabetes at 30 years old. And it was kind of in that moment that I started to feel sorry for myself for a moment. And then the question popped up in my head. I was like, Logan, you have a decision to make right now. What's it going to be? Are you going to play the victim? Are you going to let this thing control your life? You're going to let it own you? Or are you going to figure out how to make this the best thing, the greatest thing that has ever happened to you? And it was on that hospital bed that I made the decision. I made the decision that type 1 diabetes was going to be the thing that changed my life for the better. And I wasn't sure exactly how I was going to do that, but I just made the decision that it was going to do that. And so immediately I started looking for help. I'm like, how do I do this? Because I didn't have the skill sets, I didn't have the knowledge, nor did I have the belief that I could do it all on my own. And so I started to seek out help, and I ended up finding the smartest person on the freaking planet, and someone who helped me tremendously, Dr. Trevor Cashy. And I could go all day on Dr. Cashy, but I'll give you the brief snippet on who he is. He is he's an amazing human being, super smart guy. Got his degree in biochemistry at 22 years old. He was like in college at 16 years old. When I say his degree in biochemistry, he got his PhD in biochemistry at 22 years old. He's a world record holder in the log press. He's a jacked human being. He's just an amazing human being. And so he helped me with my diabetes. That was the reason why I hired him, was help me conquer this diabetes. How do I go from being a diabetic to a non-diabetic? Man, he helped me do that. Definitely gave me all the tools I needed. But also, as an ancillary benefit of that, he changed the way that I viewed health and nutrition. And I'd been in the fitness industry at that point for about 5 years. I've been lifting myself since 2004, 2005. And he just completely changed my philosophies on health and fitness. And man, I owe him a lot for just like changing my life. But what really like struck a chord with me was that he did this all from Austin, Texas, which was thousands of miles away from Bozeman, Montana. And I started to think to myself, I was like, man, if he did this for me, I wonder if I could do this for other people. And that's where I saw the future of fitness. I saw the future of fitness, not in in-person training, but in online training. And so I had a gym. I had a gym of about 200 clients. And I was like, man, like I'm going to beta test this program with my current clients I have at my gym. And so I beta tested it, and the results were good. They weren't amazing by stretch of the means. I was definitely I was anticipating amazing results, kind of like how I had got, but I saw enough to know that I can make a decision. And my decision was that I was going to shut the gym down and I was going to move everybody over into this online training thing. And then once I got that stabilized, then I would go start selling more people into this online training business, right? Because I saw the future. I believed in it. I saw how much it changed my life. I was like, this can definitely help other people as well. And so, yeah, we had about 200 customers and we were doing about $40,000 a month in our business. And our business was really steady. We had a team of about 10 people, everything from trainers to office staff to a salesperson. And outside of me doing the hiring and firing of people and doing the team meetings, that was my only day-to-day. I was outside of the operations, outside of those things, and we had a pretty steady business. And I think everything was going pretty good. And then I made one of the biggest mistakes is I made an assumption. I made an assumption that our clients wanted something better. And what they wanted was they wanted the same thing. They didn't want change. And I forced this change onto them. Looking back on it, I would have done things 1,000% differently. But this was one of the biggest blunders I've made as an entrepreneur, is I killed the golden goose for something that was not proven. And I paid very dearly for it. And out of those 200 clients, we ended up only keeping 8 of them. And the only reason we kept those 8 of them is because they had already prepaid. And so that moment, we were left with $0 of recurring money coming in every single month. And we had a whole lot of expenses. And for 2 weeks, it was hell. And one of the other mistakes I made too, along with transitioning this business, was that we didn't need all of our staff anymore. So I let go all of our staff except for one person. Her name was Courtney. And so what I ended up doing is I ended up pissing off not only just our current clients, but also pissed off our staff or our old staff. And yeah, man, I still feel like really, really silly for the way I handled all that. And like, I'm so grateful for my wife, Katie, and for Courtney. They handled all the emails. They handled all the refund requests. They handled all the people. They handled all the problems. And I had to actually go back into the gym for 2 weeks because I had let go of all my staff members. And I told all these clients that they had until, you know, 2 weeks to make a decision whether they wanted to stay or not. And so I went back into the gauntlet and I had to face all these clients who barely knew who I was because I didn't train sessions. I wasn't there for their initial sales. And so when I walked into the gym, they didn't even, like, some of them didn't know who I was. For the newer clients, the older clients, I knew who I was when I transitioned out. But I was the bad guy, and I was the one who basically told them that, hey, this gym situation that you're in, like, it's going away. And if you want to, you can stay into this online thing. Otherwise, you have 2 weeks left. Or if you want to, you can refund. And that first week before I'd even stepped back into the gym, we had all the refunds come through, and all the people were pissed off in the emails. And me and Katie were doing our marriage meeting. And part of that marriage meeting is looking at our expenses. And that first week, we had lost $10,000. And that was just the start of it. And we had no money coming in. And I had no time either, because I was getting up at 4:30 a.m. to teach the 5:30 a.m. class. And we had classes till 8:30 at night. And so all day long, I was just fulfilling these sessions that I had promised for the next 2 weeks before I got the opportunity to actually see if this new online business was actually going to work. And so again, I'm so grateful for Kitty. But after those 2 weeks and the dust had kind of settled, I went back into selling again. This time I was selling a online training program that I had never sold before to the public. And just again, basing off these frameworks that I learned in the past. And I had hoped and prayed that this system, that it worked. And it did, very fortunately. I was able to work my ass off. And instead of training sessions from 4:30 a.m. till 8:30 at night, I was able to do sales. Not quite so early, because most people aren't awake by that time, but probably about 9 a.m. till about 5 or 6 p.m. every single day I did sales. And I sold myself out of this hole, and we created this new online fitness business. And man, I was just worked my ass off. Took us probably 5 or 6 months to get stabilized, but we made it happen. And then the next step was, okay, now how do I scale this? How do I scale online fitness sales? And so I ended up hiring a mentor named Nick Elliott. And so ironically enough, like, Nick was actually on here last week. And man, Nick, out of all the sales training I've been a part of, it was Nick's program that had the biggest impact on me, not just from a matter of doing sales in my business, but how I manage relationships with, like, my wife and my kids, people around me. And he just taught me so much about human behavior that it just I'll be forever grateful. And so it was through his mentorship that I learned the process to hire, train, and retain salespeople at a really high level. And so a little background on Nick, like Nick ran the Lady Boss weight loss sales team, and he grew them from literally nothing to the biggest weight loss company in the world. And so I can't remember how many people he had on his team, but he was like, he hired and trained and managed, you know, hundreds and hundreds of salespeople doing fitness sales, which is arguably some of the hardest sales that you can ever do. And so it was through his process that I was like, wow, like he has some techniques. He's got some strategy. He's got some information that I'd never heard before. And again, I'd been part of Alex Hormozi's programs before. I'd been part of Chris Krohn's stuff before. And I had done like Grant Cardone's sales training, Jordan Belfort's sales training. Like I'd done lots of sales training, and like Nick's by far was the best. And so once I learned how to actually do this in my online training business, it gave me the freedom. It gave me the freedom to actually work on my business and to also explore new opportunities. And this is where the cleaning business came into play. And so when we started our cleaning business, I should perform the sales for the first 6 weeks. And I did this so I could, again, prove the script. I could prove the process. And eventually, once I basically did the SOP, I handed it off. Okay. And once I handed it off, I didn't go back in. And so since December of 2020, like I haven't done a single sale for our cleaning business. And like I said earlier, in the past 11 months, we've sold 365 new clients, and it was between three different salespeople. And I think two of them are on here right now, which is actually pretty cool. And so again, yeah, I was one of them. And so curious, like who wants to actually see this process? Who wants to see the process from when you onboard a new salesperson all the way to they're actually doing sales at a high level? Who wants to see this? Let's see the chat. I'm back in the chat again here. Let's do it. Okay. Cool. So, onboarding. So the first step in bringing on a salesperson is you must onboard them. Okay. So just handing your salesperson a phone and a script and saying, get to work, it doesn't work. There must be a process. And so part of the onboarding process, the first step might seem really simple, but it's actually getting the salesperson access to everything that they need access to, right? So in our case, they need access to the lead sheet. They need access to the CRM that we're making phone calls and we're doing texts, which is Just Call. They need access to our CRM, which is ZenMade. They need access to Acuity, which is our scheduler. They need access to the actual cleaning script, the conversion script. What is their day-to-day duties, the daily sales duties, and then also sales recordings. So the first step is actually just making sure that the new salesperson has access to all these things, make sure they get logged in, make sure they know how to use these tools. Next step is training. So how do you train a new salesperson? And so the new salesperson, what they do is they actually shadow the existing salesperson or sales manager. And so every single call that the salesperson gets on, the new salesperson is on there as well. And so how you do this is you have the salesperson, the sales manager, they get on a Zoom together. And then you have the sales manager, the person who's doing the sale with the client. You have them put the call, you have them put the phone on speaker. That way they can hear the client as well. And they also have their Zoom, have it open to a shared screen with the script that's on there. And with the script that's on there, what's really cool is that as a new salesperson, they can hear the sales manager talking to the client. They can hear the client responding back, and they can actually see the script. And the sales manager is actually scrolling through the script as they're going through the process. So you can actually see in live the script and how it's being translated from the sales manager to the client. Now, once the call is done, then you do a little review after the call. And so the sales manager basically explains like, hey, I don't know if you heard this or you saw this, or the reason why I skipped this part in the script, or did you notice this part in the script, how I delayed, the little nuances that you only learn while you're actually on the calls. OK, Okay. Because sales, as much as their scripts, like it's a balancing act, like it's called a straight line. And ultimately, like you as a salesperson sometimes gets off the straight line. Sometimes the client gets off the straight line, but ultimately it's you pushing the prospect that you're on the call with back onto the straight line, which is your script. And it gets them flowing back to the end, to the end goal, which is to get them to turn into a paying client. And so after that call review is done, then in between each call, the new salesperson performs what's called a growth block. And for the first week, they do at least 5 of these every single day. Okay. So what is a growth block? Well, a growth block is 4 simple steps. Okay. And it's a self-performed sales training, which takes roughly about 30 minutes to do. And so the first step of the growth block is you're going to read the initial cleaning script out loud as quickly as you possibly can from top to bottom. The second step is reading the conversion script out loud from top to bottom as quickly as you possibly can. The third step of the growth block is actually listening to a sales training video on 2x speed. So I actually have a sales training library that they go through, and there's like different techniques. There's different, it basically outlines the principles and the formation of like how human behavior works, how a sale works. And it's so powerful. So that usually takes about 10 minutes to do, and then listen to a sales training book for 10 minutes. And so there's a recommended sales training list that I have as well that you guys will get access to. And you guys can thank Nick Elliott for that. It's actually his list. And I've just taken that and been able to share that list because it's a great list of books. And so that's a growth block. Again, it takes about half an hour. And in the very first week, the new salesperson is doing this 5 times a day. Right. So they're getting really good at the scripts. They're hearing these concepts, and they're hearing these techniques over and over and over again until the point where it becomes second nature. That's the goal. And so after that, we're doing call reviews. Okay. And so after the first week, the second week, the new salesperson, they're actually taking live calls. Okay. So they'll do a live call. Every single call is recorded. And once the call is done, then the sales manager, or you, if you're the business owner in this case, then you'll give feedback to the salesperson. So what you'll do is you do a call review. So you'll do a Zoom screen or a shared screen, and whether they're on there or whether they're not on there is going to depend on if you record it or not. But you basically just hit the play button, and as you are listening to the new salesperson and the client go back and forth, you're going to pause it and you're going to give feedback. You're going to pause and give feedback. And this feedback loop, it helps the new salesperson see what they did well, and it helps see what they need to improve on. And so these call reviews are so pivotal in order for you to get better. Think of it like a professional athlete, and they're watching game film, and you have a coach sitting there saying, "Hey, did you see that?" And it allows you to correct or see what you did, so you become aware of it, and then give you the opportunity to correct it with some coaching. Okay. And so over those first 5 calls, your goal is to actually see how much that new salesperson takes that feedback. Do they implement it? Do they have the skills to be able to adapt? Do they have the ego to accept that, you know what, I can get better. I can continue to grow as a salesperson. And if they do, if they're able to accept the feedback, they're able to grow and get better, amazing. That's what you're looking for. But if they don't get better, if they stop accepting feedback, if they're not getting better, then at that point, you cut them really, really fast. And so there's not a long leash for salespeople. Again, if they're not willing to grow, they're not willing to get better, they're gone really, really fast. And so once that person makes it though, they make it like, okay, they're getting better. They're accepting the feedback. They're implementing the coaching that you're giving them, the ongoing training. This is something that your salespeople will do constantly. Daily, right? It's training. Like it's a skill set. You're always getting better at it. Is every single day they'll do a growth block. Okay. Do this at the beginning of their shift. You'll do 1 call review weekly with your new salesperson. Okay. Which means that you can either have them pick out a call, or you can just pick out a random call, and you're going to do a call review every single week just to ensure that they're following the script, that they're implementing some of the techniques that you've given to them in the past. And also just make sure that you have quality assurance as well. We want them to maintain at least 50% closing ratio. And then for us, we want them to perform at least 15 sales calls per week. This is 3 a day. Because at the end of the day, if they are only getting on the phone with 2 people a week and they close 2 of them, that's 100% close rate. Sounds great. But I would prefer that my salespeople get on 20 calls every single week. And if they only close 11 of them, well, then they close 11 people rather than just 2. And while it's what a 55% close rate, I'd rather have a 55% close rate and closing 11 people rather than 100% close rate and only closing 2 people. So it's a nice little mix of volume with quality as well.
If you're a cleaning business owner or want to launch a cleaning business, I did a free masterclass on how to build a $1 million cleaning business even if you have zero experience. So if you want to learn more, go to logansCleaningCo.com to create your free account. Hope you enjoy it.